They said it would never happen, but we have returned. This is Technologics episode 32. That's two more than 30 plus two
minus
less
two
than 40 minus less 8 than 40. Yes, and our first story. This is a controversial one. Dig, everybody's favourite social networking site, has come under criticism, accused of censoring posts to the front page and, allegedly, editorialising and picking which stories hit the headlines. Terrible allegation. And rival site Slashdot have posted a story. In the words of Commander Taco, he has received complaints submitted so numerous that I had little choice but to post. Well, not to criticise his frankly retarded grammar, but an interesting development. So this is the order of events. Supposedly, the allegations go: stories were put onto the Dig front page, dug in exactly the same order by exactly the same people, same 17 individuals, dug two stories which appeared on the front page on the same day, in the same order, which is statistically so unlikely as to be impossible. Kevin Rose, Dig founder and Dig Nation presenter, one of the 17 alleged to have contributed to this story popping onto the front page. So the speculation is, it's a script, they run it whenever they want a story on the front page. Something like this. So, a story is posted to Dig, linking to a site which alleges this. The site is banned from ever being posted on Dig again. The story is removed several times as it pops up again and again. And users posting the story are banned by name and IP address for allegedly accusing other users of breaking the Dig Terms of Service, which is supposedly a violation of the Dig Terms of Service itself. It's really strange. So you can't, I accuse you of breaking the Terms of Service. Oh, accuse me of breaking the Terms of Service.
I accuse you of accusing me.
Of breaking the Terms of Service. Bah, we're both gone.
I know. It's like some kind of crazy thing in the French Revolution. They have to keep chopping off more and more heads, and as the heads roll into a giant pile, it becomes an illegally high pile of heads, and they must chop off their own heads.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's terrible. Kevin Rose has responded, but his response is not particularly detailed. He said the stories were taken down due to users reporting them as abusive false stories. There's a feature on Dig where you can say, you know, this is not a real story or whatever, take it down. And he didn't comment on the users getting banned for posting these stories. Clearly, it is an effort at censorship, whether or not they posted the original story, whether it's true or not. They didn't respond directly to the allegation, and they attacked the people making it, which is very foolish for any kind of social site. So, I mean, the future of Dig in question, I don't think it's going to go down tomorrow, but it might well lose much of its popularity in the whole web 2.0
yeah.
trendy.
And certainly, like some of the big contributors who contribute new stories every single day might go, hold on.
But you know, my...
We don't actually control this, Kevin. The city up needs room going, mwah! I don't like this story.
Boom! That's a bit of a coincidence, because, you know, same week as the whole Wikipedia thing, which we'll get on to. I think we have a story about that, right?
So yeah, we do.
We'll get
on to
that later.
So, yeah, exactly. It's again asking who's actually in control of
who's
these things.
Who's in control of
is it the people?
Can they survive as user-run communities, or will there always be a dictator changing the rules of the game?
Exactly. Well, in this case, we're wondering, was he always there and was like controlling things, and it's only coming
out
now?
Fingers.
Yeah.
His salad fingers.
We're controlling it.
Moving on.
Moving on to our next story regarding the RIAA.
RIA.
Our friends.
RIA.
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 And the F. The F. The F.
EFF.
The EFF. The F.
I've got a hangover.
Locked in a battle. Locked in a battle in the case of Elektra versus Barker, although I always thought Elektra was like a comic book character.
I always thought it was where a woman sleeps with her father, but it's just me.
Who knows? Anyway, that's not what the case is about. The case is about downloading and peer-to-peer networks. And the RIAA are essentially trying to get new laws brought in with this case, so they're trying to change the current legislation through this case, so it's going to be a legal precedent, and in future cases that they're going to sue people, they're going to use this as like, oh, look, managed to prove it in this case, hence you have to agree with us in this one. What they want to do is essentially make it illegal to upload files to a peer-to-peer network, and in some ways what they actually want to do is make it illegal to upload any kind of copyrighted material anywhere. so upload to a website. So even if you quote, say, I don't know, your favorite book or something like this, you're putting copyrighted material on your website, in which case you're making yourself open to being sued, because that act is enough to essentially be illegal. That's what they want to do. They want to change things that way. So the EFF are fighting them on this. However, the article in Ars Technica kind of points out an irony in this, in that current copyright law in the US essentially doesn't take any account of the digital distribution of material or copyrighted material. What it does talk about is that for distribution to take place, a physical exchange of a material object must take place. So a CD or a book or something you can actually hold in your hand must be transferred from one person to another. So there's no talking about putting a file up somewhere where it can be downloaded. So obviously the law is outdated and it doesn't take into account, but at the same time we can't exactly allow the RIAA to dictate how the law should be changed and how it should be brought into like the 21st century.
But this is where I disagree with Ars Technica. Their position is that, you know, uploading or even sharing a folder is technically distribution in the internet age, which is something I would agree with. But their further position is that intellectual property law must be amended or is somehow out of date or a loophole that's open if it doesn't acknowledge this and it doesn't treat people who have shared folders or uploaded information as distributors. This is my difficulty, because this is assuming the weight of ownership and product to ideas. Again, this is something we talked about lots, and it's a very necessary thing in a lot of ways. When you create a product, when you create a novel or a film or whatever, you have to have an ownership over the distribution of that. But when you apply legal chastisement to people on an individual level sharing information, what you're really destroying is the human communication. The way we think by communicating, we think by bouncing ideas off each other and learning. So when you say, it's not just against the law for someone to go and copy this DVD 500 times or commercially do it, steal something which is being shown in a cinema and distribute it for money, but it's actually illegal if I have an album and I copy it and give it to you, that is just as illegal. What you're actually doing is you're taking what's been gone on for the entirety of human history and is responsible for our evolution, which is the spread of ideas, and you're making that illegal. You're tying that into wealth in a way that is completely against the way information acts in the human system, against our instincts for sharing it, and does a disservice to all of the people who don't, you know, work at that top of that pyramid of the Madonnas and the M&Ms this world.
Those who can fight or can afford to fight.
Well, those whose products won't get out to the world, and who people sharing them is how they get heard about. You know, the small independent films, the musicians that you won't hear about until your friend lets you hear about it. In the RIAA's world, you never hear about it, because they decide who you hear about, because the little people can't become distributors, only of the content that they create, and then they have to go and sign up to the large industrial complex, which is deciding the laws which this distribution works on. So I think Ars Technica missed a hugely important debate in just kind of saying,
well, sort of the law kind of does need to be updated, or I don't know about this.
You know, the EFF are well ahead of them in the academic discussion of this sort of thing, and indeed Cara Victoro of the EFF has, formerly of the EFF, have written many, many pieces explaining exactly this and why there's more at stake than a simple updating of IP law.
Yeah, it's like changing things so that like you have to watch everything you upload to any shared folder is crazy.
It's not practical. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Plus, I mean, you could just, oh, I put it in the shared folder. They're breaking down the doors.
Well, that's the thing. You have to look at any law as if this was perfectly enacted, if every incidence of being broken was punished, what would be the result? And in many cases, for example, in Ireland, in terms of the police's additional powers, or in the UK, but in many cases with internet law, if they were actually enacted, and if they were actually,
enforced?
Enforced. This is the hangover. If they were enforced, as they aren't, but if they're completely enforced, chaos would ensue. The world would grind to a halt. The information sharing in which we depend would grind to a halt. So they're kind of relying on, we enforce it whenever we want, therefore we have the power to dictate how things work, and that's insanity.
Yeah, it's thought control. It's thought control.
Mind control. Yeah,
it's mind control. You're not allowed. Big brother, you are not allowed to think except things you have to pay for. What am I going to have for dinner today? I might have a recipe. Oh no, who owns the recipe? Ah!
You But that's a really good point, because we think of our mind and our what we say as really separate things to digital information, but these things are becoming part of our extended minds. I mean, if you the information that you keep in your to-do list is an extension of your working memory. The information that you keep on your hard drive is an extension of your sphere of music and entertainment, and all these things. There's not a hard distinction. They are part of you. And to draw these lines around the external elements that technology is adding to ourselves is to limit the ability of that technology to enable us. End rant.
Have a break there.
Have a Kit Kat.
Have a Kit Kat. Oh, no, Kit Kat's probably copyrighted. You can't say that.
Cotton Kit. Too late.
A confectionery.
Have a sweet that involves
food.
Chocolate and biscuit.
Food. Oh, no. That idea is probably patented.
Oh,
damn it. Reverse. Have some carbohydrate. Yeah, that's probably not.
Cause copyrighted word.
Oh no!
.com, carbon. I'm sure it's not.
Anyway.
That's not got too much.
Our next wonderful story talks about HDCB, which is technology which will be coming into encrypt high definition TV so that you can't steal it. No! So, this wonderful new technology which has been backed by Hollywood. Essentially, gives to every HDCP device a hidden vector, which is a bunch of load of numbers, and an addition rule, so that when two devices talk to each other, so one is like, say, a big server somewhere with all your movies, and one is your whatever TV, DVD player, so it's going to get this. So what it's going to do is, they talk to each other, they agree on some kind of way of encrypting the video data, and then it can be sent across the connection, and it also will authenticate each device, so you can't have your computer connected to your DVD player and just ripping the CD with your computer pretending to be a TV. Can't be done. So the problem is, this technology sucks and can be broken, and almost certainly will be broken, because the protocol used to authenticate devices and encrypt the data across it is a poor cousin of a secure handshake protocol called Diffie-Hellman. For those who've actually done computer science and stuff like that, you'll know what Diffie-Hellman is. For those who don't,
what is Diffie-Hellman?
Diffie-Hellman is
just like a mayonnaise.
It's just a secure way for two devices to agree on a secret key, which they can then use to encrypt data to be sent between them, so that someone who sits in the middle listening cannot actually grab that key. So you can be sitting in the middle listening to all the messages being sent back and forth, or even pretending to be one of the others doing a meet in the middle attack, and yet you still cannot work out what this
secret
key
is. So why
is
that more secure than HDCP?
Because, unfortunately, Diffie-Hellman in HDCP, they use a very simple rule for generating the keys. Both devices have this big long number, essentially, which is like just a bunch of load of short pieces, so it's like 42, 33, whatever, up to, and there's 40 of these kind of little groups. So what happens is that the two devices send their addition rule to each other, and the addition rule is then applied. It just essentially picks out two of these numbers from the big long vector and adds them together to get a number, and that's the key. And the system is designed so that when two devices send their keys to each other, or the addition rule to each other, the key that they come up with is the same. So the vectors are created in such a way, and the addition rules are created in such a way, so that they always end up with the same number. However, the person who wrote the article showed, or I think it's actually a research paper, showed that if you insert other devices into it, the addition rule is very simple, it's just adding. So if you add other devices in, you can actually just use the addition rule by creating simultaneous equations for maths, and you can work it out very simply. It's just a matter of, it's a little bit brute force, but it depends on the length of the vector. So he showed it with 4, with the actual real version it would be 40. So you need 40 conspiring devices to do it. But that would be quite possible, because people will get their DVD players with these HD-enabled players, they'll probably be able to crack them open and get hold of this secret vector. Hence, they'll get 40 of these secret vectors, and they'll be able to work out any other secret vector they want.
So once this is cracked once, it's just gone then?
It's gone once. People will be able to essentially run software or something like this on their PCs, which can then enable it to masquerade as any other HDCP device. So it can masquerade as a TV, as a DVD player, as some kind of server, anything. So it can just pretend to be any kind of device within this whole system.
So this HDCP system, which is, I presume, in Blu-ray and HD DVD,
quite possibly, yeah,
is already cracked.
Yeah, it's already
crackable
cracked
to the point where it will be cracked instantly by the next DVD John or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's essentially
it's
inevitable. Stupid.
It's inevitable.
Awkward. And
yeah.
And also there's some difficulties with TVs not being compatible with different HD players, not just the old analog HD TVs, but some of the newer HDCP TVs supposedly won't connect to the DVD players, they won't negotiate properly.
Ah, yeah, but now you'll be able to hack it.
So you'll have to hack it.
Yeah,
so the entire system, which is created to stop people becoming pirates and infringing copyright, is encouraging people and forcing them, just like DVDs not playing on Linux, whatever, to become exactly what it's trying to avoid. Hollywood shoots itself in the head. Yeah, again.
It's
nice one, guys.
It's kind of the broken of the tenets of security, which is don't develop your own security protocols because you don't know what you're doing. So apparently, the guy who wrote the article looked at it and he said that what they tried to do was they were very restricted on the amount of computational ability they had for the set-top box that was in charge of doing this. So they essentially tried to mash in Diffie-Hellman into it and came up with this simpler version that isn't as good.
Why are they so restricted? I mean, you think...
Yeah,
that's so
what he asked. It was like, why could they just not put in like an extra tenner to make a better device that could actually do proper encryption and a proper protocol, a proper handshake?
Is it possible to ever have an encryption system where the device is trusted but the user is kept out? Where you're sending a movie broadband, or you have got a DVD or whatever, but the user it's just not crackable, where it's as strong as PGP and just cannot be broken. Is that possible? Or is there a fundamental flaw in the logic of how keys are traded and so on, which just basically says you can never do that, it will always be crackable?
Well, essentially you use something like PGP, you use like I'm not a security expert, but generally when these things come around you get the experts and you look at like the best security technology out there. Like, they should implement the stuff that people use for computing, PGP, you know, etc., all those things, you know, and alright, maybe hide the keys and all this, but like, they started off with Diffie-Hellman, which is a pretty good protocol, and like, they mashed it and tried to make it smaller and made something shit.
But even in PGP, you're going to have the private key locally, even if it's encrypted,
yeah.
So you're still going to have that key
on the device. Yeah, exactly. So it's up to then, it's just going to be how they're going to try and make it. Yeah, it's still going to have like some device in your home which you can probably tamper with and crack open and try and get at. So, I mean, that's a whole different area of like physical security of the device.
Mm.
Try and make it tamper resistant. But like, there's no such thing as 100% security. Otherwise, like, you know, they, I don't know, keep it away from their house and secured with iron bars and
maybe
a big
if they
beam
the movie into your house through a laser onto your wall or something.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
A van which like stops in front of your house, a black van filled with big men with guns.
Yeah.
I think the RA would probably quite like that.
Yeah,
they disguise it as a sweet van and then shoot children who actually try to buy ice cream or whatever.
Yeah. Or just yeah, exactly. They ban TVs from everyone's houses and all that, and you just have to go to one secure area.
There's one large secure TV, and they scan your barcode, and you kind of sit there and watch the propaganda.
Yeah, I want to go to TV. I want to go watch TV, so you have to go down, go for a 20-minute walk to go to the TV.
If they don't scan, if your hair gets too long with the barcode on the back of your neck, you feel shotgun pointed while they check.
Continue, citizen.
And on you go.
You are now allowed.
You may not watch the film. $38 have been deducted from your allowance for the month.
You will get this. The film will be preceded by a short half hour of advertisements
and copyright warnings being directly into your retina.
Yeah, strapped down.
Yeah.
With your eyes open so you can't
the
even
restraints
close them.
Shoot down your inner chair. Like a death row inmate in his last
clap of orange, eyes open.
is melting in your pocket because lasers have detected its signals and it could be a recording device and burning into your thigh. The perfect movie experience.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on. Right. Back to Folksonomies. Wikipedia in trouble this week. This goes back to something we were talking about in show 2. Potential flaw in Folksonomies like Wikipedia. Jimmy Whale's Kingdom, as it is known to some, has come under criticism. Is Wikipedia going to lead to a better infosphere, or is it just a pile of pooey muck? This is the question. WikiTruth, a website criticising Wikipedia, has launched, full of allegations of misuse of the power of censorship and so on Wikipedia by Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, co-founder himself, and his crew of cronies. And also an article in The Guardian, highly critical of Wikipedia, highly critical of the fact that articles can be excellent and then degenerate into noise. Highly critical of the fact that nothing is really objective, and the whole neutrality thing just leads to arguments between people who say, oh, this is the truth, oh, this is the truth, this is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, this is a difficulty. Wikipedia is being forced to clamp down more and more control from the user base who actually produce the articles. There's a huge problem. Are they going to become more controlled, more elitist, have more accurate but less common, and just abandon the whole Folksonomy idea? Or are they going to abandon the whole controlling the information flow and being so fascistic? It's a very big problem with any kind of wiki, but especially with the Wikipedia, which is so massive and so all-encompassing.
It's a serious difficulty because the article we read pointed out that as soon as kind of, you know, they have features or posts of the week, so they look at those, but as soon as those kind of disappear off the map, they steadily get worse as people are edited and put in more mistakes, and just stuff that people can't agree on probably gets chopped out and just left out of it. So you get very kind of bland, shall we say, posts to Wikipedia. So you don't actually get a wide view of like views or opinions on something. So I don't know, could they somehow change it so that like you can actually have differing views? So it's like, this is the plain view, this is like, ooh, one end of the scale, the other somewhere in the middle.
Well, I think that's a conversation I had with Jason a long time ago. Jason's a huge fan of Wikipedia and spends a lot of time editing it. And, I said, could they not have, as you say, you know, these are the five views, this is user whatever, he says this is user whatever. But Wikipedia have this tenet of neutrality, so every article should be neutral. And they can state in an article that there's a disagreement, but not from the point of view of the disagreement, only say, well, this person thinks this. Which, in a way, is crazy, because you do end up with the whole Fox News thing. It's fair and balanced, because we say it's fair and balanced. Someone has to decide what neutrality is, and what is a statement of fact versus a statement of opinion. And those things, when you get right down to it, to the epistemology and ontology of it, are really, unidentifiable things. They're things that you really pretty much, you go back right back to Principia Mathematica and Bertrand Russell, you cannot define what is true and untrue at a fundamental level. So defining the difference between an opinion and a truth, very difficult. So they might be better adopting some kind of an opinion system, you know, votes towards different opinions being represented and in trying to balance rather than have this unitary truth.
Yeah, so, exactly. Plus, like, the article also pointed out that there's an actual problem with, you know, you can't actually see different points of view. You actually do get this neutral, bland idea, so you don't actually see it from multiple different points of view. Mm. So, problem is, like, you don't actually change the way you might view something. You just get this bland thing. You're like, it doesn't encourage you to think or think critically about something. So, you know, it'd be better if you saw, alright, apples are good, and someone goes, apples suck! Or apples are the best thing ever! You know, something that would actually cause you to think and maybe actually form an opinion of your own chauffeur, you know?
And then the difficulty is simply one of managing how you have a page which has all these links to all these other views, you know, or at least can grow into it, but it's coherent and simple. But I think that's just more of an IT information management problem rather than a big philosophical thing.
It's more really of, it's just a kind of human computer interaction kind of problem, just a way of representing all these different views and allowing people to do it in such a way that people can navigate through this.
It should be ideally that people setting this WikiTruth website, that should be something that can be built right into Wikipedia without disrupting what exists there and be represented.
They can still have their neutral, you know, central core, but people who want actually a variety of views and maybe they can actually see that as well rather than this one fixed entry. I think it would be far better if you had than this one fixed entry. This is the truth.
And this thing about deleting non-notable things, I mean, obviously it's a bitchy thing for us because we were deleting, but the whole non-notable thing, I mean, it's it's ridiculous and it's pointless. They don't have a storage limit. They're not crying against the limits of their servers. And even if they were, they store deletes and edits anyway, so that's irrelevant. So why delete, say, a non-notable book? This is something they point out in WikiTruth. Somebody's saying, well, this author's non-notable. They exist, therefore they are of note. You know, if you don't think they're of note, that's irrelevant. Yeah. If you have a criteria of what's of note, well, that criteria is absurd because, you know, the very idea of forming a criteria of what is notable now, what will be notable in the future, I mean, it just it gets into all these ridiculous contradictions, so...
It's just why they're going,
who cares about those things?
Yeah, so why not have
no one wants to know about such and such an author. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, someone wrote it in, so someone obviously cares.
Provided it's not, if something is an advertisement, and by advertisement, a specific invitation to purchase a product, that's what an advertisement is. That's fair enough. Obviously, you can't have that. But if something is a description of something, which, you know, is advertising in the sense of letting you know about it, well, all information does that, you know. So, hello, you can't.
That's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be an encyclopedia of information. So, I mean, this is information about.
It's meant to be the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
It aims to have the sum total of human knowledge. Or
yes, so the sum total should include information about authors and, you know, people of note to. I don't know.
And whatever, hairy testicle societies in Israel or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Still absurd, ridiculous, random things that have, you know, interest to some people. It doesn't have to be a specific, you know, thing that is. Or whatever, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Makes sense to include it all. Throw it all in!
Throw it all in, exactly.
Throw it all in!
Worry about it later. Okay. Good argument for shagging ugly birds as well. Yeah, more on that in a different show.
In every other show. Okay! Next story. The latest on bionics. The bionic man.
That was the weakest. We're just pure shit. Good thing we're not in a club right now.
Oh, I saw this thing the other day of like this guy doing the robot. This thing.
Yeah.
He was amazing. It's like, oh, I'll show you
this
thing on YouTube.
Is this David Elsewhere or is it?
Oh, no, it's just a friend of mine who's showing it. I don't know if it's David Elsewhere.
You know David Elsewhere, right?
No.
David Elsewhere.
Not personally.
You know who he is, right?
No.
You're this because you're crafting. He's the greatest dancer of all time. He can do all these moves that look like animation and crazy stuff. Is that it? Was he kind of in an orange jersey on the stage?
Yeah,
he's a legend. But
awesome.
You know, I think we actually pinned him already in a previous show, so you can't completely even remember.
No, we didn't.
Maybe we didn't. I don't know.
Don't think we did.
He's freaking very heavily last night. But we'll link him into the wiki anyway. Yes, there's the biggest legend ever to dance.
Dance.
Woo! That's just quite accurately like him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sorry.
Anyway. Okay, so currently scientists are working on three amazing areas. One, supervision. Well, not quite, but they're looking to restore vision to those who have lost it through disease. So often, through various diseases, people lose the cones and rods in back of a person's eye are damaged through disease. So, Daniel Palanker, a scientist at Stanford University of California, has created a bionic eye, which is able to stimulate directly the kind of back of the retina, so that it's actually able to provide, supposedly, hopes anyway, 20/80 vision to a user. Now, currently he's carrying out tests on animals, lab rats, etc., but he's hoping in a year or two... Hoping in a year or two to actually start doing human tests. So, obviously we know 20/20 vision is very good. 20/80 would provide enough that a person would be able to read large fonts and recognise faces. So that's pretty good. I mean, going from blind to that would be amazing.
Mm. Well, this is going to be a vision recovery thing. If you've been blind since birth, you're not going to ever be able to read. Because there's just areas of your brain that just won't develop during childhood and so on.
Well, this is true disease, you said.
Yeah,
so
for people who've lost their vision, that's amazing.
Lost their vision, it would be
really
amazing.
Fantastic.
It would add like a huge quality of life to such people.
It's a big step up from the old magnets in your fingertips. Or...
I still think that's class.
Yeah,
I want
them. A girl with a metal spine. So run your finger. Read too many dots.
Anyway, okay, second up is super strength provided by the Berkeley Lower Extremity Exoskeleton. Blex? Wow. Anyway, it'll fit along the user's legs. Essentially, it's kind of like this frame, which will fit along the user's legs and will allow a person to carry in kind of a backpack up to 90 kilograms without actually feeling any of the weight. So, obviously, the military are loving the idea of this because they love soldier boy to carry more guns.
Every man would be an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Every man would be an Arnie carrying 50 million weapons and small German nuclear device on my back. I will kill you to death.
Right, so, way to kill the joke to death, apparently.
Yeah, but it's also... But it'll also be useful, obviously, for emergency services, because they'll be able to carry...
Carry people on their back.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if people are getting fatter, you can carry more fat people.
Or maybe fat people will be able to carry themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Just a big lump of it, throw it over their shoulder.
Jesus. Oh, I just ate it.
Yeah, but it will actually be useful for people like firemen, etc. They'll be able to get upstairs with large hoses and whatever, much easier.
And we do know how firemen have those large hoses, ladies. Oh, yeah.
Ew.
I was talking to this girl in my class the other day, and she was talking about some firemen collecting money in Grafton Street, and she's like, fireman. Anyway, go on. That's a wrap.
Anyway, finally, we're going to bionic limbs. Now, we know Steve Austin's super arm. Or was it the bionic woman's super arm could, like, throw things and crush tennis balls and all this? Well, I remember watching the show. Anyway, current bionic limbs are, well, not very good. They're about as good as the claw and just... Well, honestly, they allow people to just about pick things up and carry out some very basic functions. But,
etc.
William Cranius of Lookers.
William Cranius? It's called Cranius. I thought it was Cranius.
Why do all these.
Cranium.
Why do these people all have strange names?
Cranius.
More Cranius. Lookers developed the artificial limbs.
Anyway. He's developed Dextra, which essentially is a bionic limb which can record muscle movements and then essentially move this bionic hand in response to them. So it's able to train itself to it. So you think about moving your fingers, it records how your muscles moved in the correspondence to that, and then it learns that's when it should move the fingers. So currently it's able to move up to 3 fingers, and one guy actually managed to learn to play the saxophone. Not very well, but... Yeah, it was amazing.
Fair though,
he doesn't
on the arm.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
As good as any of the buskers on the street.
Oh, dude, that's a bad... I actually saw a dude in Grafton Street today who didn't have an arm playing the saxophone, so...
Oh,
it's an unfortunate congruence of references right there. He was very good, though. I don't think we should make any humorous references. But,
If I didn't know about the guy...
Yeah, you didn't.
Okay, just gonna stop talking now.
Right, so okay.
Anyway.
Moving on. We're gonna have somebody else do this, but.
They're open to it.
Yeah.
This. Anyway.
Okay.
You're right.
Next story. This is massive, huge, big story, so you should really read it yourself. But I will briefly outline the details that we have gleaned from our scourging of the Webbledom.
The Webbledom.
Iraq has been invaded, as we all know. Iran looks
Afghanistan has been invaded.
Invaded and flattened. And Iran looks to be the next country on the targets of Washington.
It's also the reason petrol's got very expensive.
Well, that's what we should all be worried about. Nuclear war, forget about it. But petrol, Jesus, I'm worried. Yeah, anyway. sorry. So as our friend who's no longer here pointed out, Iran has only been a sovereign nation since the War of Independence in the 1970s, the sort of a renaissance in Islam which took place there, and it was only a dictatorship for about 20 years because the Shah of Iran was put into place by the British in the 1950s. This is the 1950s. I could be completely wrong, but essentially there was a democracy of sorts in Iran, which was displaced, and the Shah was put in by the British. oddly enough. So the democracy of Rome was essentially stolen, replaced with a dictatorship, which itself was replaced by a religious government, which now looks to be the new enemy of Washington. There's a great article in the New Yorker this week, and another blog post which you should check out, pointing out all of the difficulties which come from an invading country like Iran, which, unlike Iraq, actually has an army and an economy and links to terrorist organisations and genuine chemical weapons and potentially even the ability to build nuclear weapons. And not just that, but pointing out the insanity of Washington, how they're planning on literally potentially using nuclear weapons to prevent Iran getting nuclear weapons because they're a terrorist state, which is ironic because the definition of a terrorist state is pretty much being met by Washington's own actions. Thereby...
irony!
Thereby meaning that to stop terrorism, they will be terrorists themselves. So, essentially, there's a
well, maybe they'll kill themselves, though. Yeah. They'll be like, we must kill the terrorists. Hold on. Who's that in the mirror?
That's one that we could hope for.
But not likely.
Better not be applying for an American visa anytime soon. Okay, right. You just said, don't forget. Okay,
that would mean someone's watching. No one's watching.
That's true.
Nobody's watching.
But so there's a movement within the White House, led apparently by Donald Rumsfeld, to use tactical nuclear weapons and other means. Special forces already in Iran scouting the territory, as they did in Iraq and Afghanistan before the wars in those countries. And Washington, not known for starting on this administration, not known for starting the path to war and then climbing off it. And Bush has said that he wants to be remembered as the man who saved Iran, presumably from its ability to govern itself and select its own government, and also from its ability not to be a radioactive wasteland, if we are to believe the New Yorker. Pentagon chiefs and advisors are advising the White House to, what the hell, not use nuclear weapons, you crazy bastards. Not being attended to, not being listened to. And the nuclear option is on the table. So we could be in line for a nuclear war. This is excellent news for all of those who like their toast on the crispier side. But bad news for those who like to live in a
lot of
wasteland.
Tan. Purple one.
Irradiated. And Mad Max is a favourite film of mine, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we'll get to live that dream.
Living in a wasteland with mad bikers and things. Mm. One can only dream.
One can only dream. And the weather will probably be quite as hot as the heart of the sun itself. So, fantastic. But you should really read this article. We have much more detail on our wiki. I'm kind of, you know, slogging through it because I really don't have the energy to go through this horrifically depressing litany of quotations and so on. But there's some really scary stuff. The IAEA, which are kind of international body tasked with finding peaceful uses and preventing violent uses for nuclear technology, are absolutely up in arms about this, to excuse the pun. They believe that both the neocons in Washington and the Iranians want a conflict, and one seems to be emerging despite the fact that a diplomatic solution is possible. Europe wants diplomacy and possibly sanctions. The US seem to want bombing and attacks. So.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but do not Pakistan and India have nukes, and they didn't exactly go through... They're in much the same situation as Iran. Like they went off and developed them themselves without asking anyone's permission, and nobody's talking about invading them.
Well, ironically, the guy who's supposed to have kicked off the nuclear weapons program in Iran is the father of the atom bomb, the A.K. Khan, the Pakistani scientist who developed the Pakistani atomic nuclear weapons program. So... But they're the new friends of Washington and not part of the Axis of Evil, so I don't think Pakistan are on the hit list. However, if Iran is invaded, even with conventional weapons, conventional wisdom dictates that there will be massive response across the Arab world, internationally, because this is essentially the same as bombing Rome for Christians would be.
It's Shia Islam is the state religion, and... You know, essentially, it becomes more like they're attacking the religion, anyone who practices it, you know, certainly going. Essentially, it's one guy said, like, it's like they might as well just start painting red crosses on their chest, like, because it's like the Crusades again.
Yeah. This will be the third Muslim country invaded by a Christian regime run by millenarian Christians who believe the end times are coming and in many cases want them to arrive. So the good fight can be fought and won for Jesus. how crazy does this have to get before people in the United States wake up and smell the atomic coffee? I mean, fuck. You know,
talking about nuking the place is insanity.
You know, and this thing where they twist language and they pick an idea like nuking something and they say, well, we're going to tactically nuke it. You know, we're sort of carefully. It's like surgical bombing. We're just going to knock out that small city and make it unlivable for the next 5,000 years.
Yeah.
You nutbags! You've already devastated two Japanese cities not so long ago where people are still born with deformities. You know, Chernobyl has shown us only 20 years ago the effect of a nuclear disaster. A peaceful one, which is much less than the effect that even the most low yield of nuclear weapons would have on any kind of urban area. And the Iranian nuclear weapons facilities are all in urban areas, not something which is being pointed out in the media. Deliberately, of course, the Iranian regime is crazy. No one denies that. But this idea that attacking Iran is anyway sane is just makes me gibber.
Gives you the willies.
It does.
Gives me the willies. It's scary. You know, and frankly, all you can see it doing is just encouraging people to become terrorists. Because it just looks like a good argument going, look, they're out to get us. Let's get them first. And there's going to be seriously religious sites, and they're almost certainly to be damaged, and loads of innocent people will be killed. And all because, like, George goes, yeah, I'm saving you guys, and let's win hearts and minds.
All because an idiot who does not run his own country and was placed in power by neoconservatives who figure war is a better path than peace for the entire world, and a United States dictatorship, empire, global empire, is a better path than a confederacy of democracies, ironically considering America was founded to be a confederacy of democracies. Have decided that this is the way to go. So.
Ooh, the world is mad.
What can we do? Alright. Okay, attendance, last week's show. I'm not sure if Roman mentioned this. I can't remember, but...
I think he did.
He probably did. Okay, well, it's alright, I won't say it.
Pretty sure he did.
Okay, forget that then. Okay, but Lasting at Home. A story which I thought, clearly, when I bookmarked it, was obviously a joke. Not identified as a joke by yourself and Roman.
No.
You cannot buy a kit to laser your eyes, or your dog's eyes, or anyone else's eyes.
Come here, Robert.
This is not allowed and would never be in a sane society. Well, you know, are we living in one? I don't know, but no, it's a joke.
I don't.
It's what? Okay. Do you want to latch into your media horge there?
Lost map. If you've seen episode 70, it's cool.
Hasn't been on TV here yet, so you have technically violated the
if you're in the States.
Or you could be American.
Yeah, if you're American.
Rock on.
Yeah, exactly. If you've seen 17, watch this. I love this thing.
Is it sort of another conspiracy theory about Lost? Or?
No, it's actually related to the episode.
Oh.
So after you've seen the episode, you should love this. Because don't look at it beforehand because it contains spoilers. But afterwards, it talks about stuff that happened in the episode that you will want to know about.
Fuck. I can't wait to see the latest Lost myself. By that I mean take a flight to the United States and legally watch it on television.
Of course, yes.
And you have another one, helping win my bet.
Oh yeah. a guy bet his girlfriend that if he got 2 million hits to his website, she'd have a treason. He got 2 million bets, and then she's
changed her mind.
She's
decided
her mind.
To need 75 million hits. What a twat! Did he actually think it was going to hit 2 million? She was like, "Bring her in, I'm ready." You know, got a cream bikini. You goon, get another girlfriend or just cheat her. But this is so brilliant, like the manipulativeness of women.
It's funny.
He actually made a website that got 3 million hits, and she's still like, no, not a chance.
And everyone's going, oh, you got to load up his website, help him out, you'll have a threesome.
Yeah, because he's going to get the 75 million. Keep up with that war there, dude, you know, keep fighting that good fight. You fucking idiot. But in fair, this is a very good example of what men will do to get that ultimate dream. And it's so brilliant because it goes into all the arguments he had with his girlfriend and they wrote a contract. Oh.
Yeah.
Just let him have the threesome. You know, if it means that much to him. He's not going to break up with you. He's obviously going to spoil this twit. So let him have that moment in the sun, you know. You'd probably end up with a girl anyway. Probably, this girl looks like a bit of a left diver. Jesus. Oh. Is there anyone I haven't defended? Yes. Okay, well, my immediate pimps this week. Negative pimp. Do not look at this, or look at it and mock it. There's an Ajax chat site called Hive 7, where you can have an avatar. It's the most freakish nightmare I've ever seen. You go onto this room, and everyone's got a body, and they're all kind of floating around talking to each other, and it's two-dimensional. It's just horrifying. It's like a terrible hell thing would be.
Okay.
Right, so don't look at that. Mark Echo does not tag Everest. Well, this is an interesting one. The graffiti artist and fashion designer Mark Echo claimed to have tagged Air Force One. He has a video on his site of him, you know, climbing over a fence and going past the army trucks and everything and spray painting like "still free" on Air Force One. And he has another video explaining why he did it, which is like 20 minutes long, but it's all big fake.
I think so. He would have got shot or something close to
it. When you watch the video, you're like, oh my god, there's like a jeep that goes by and with turrets and he's there sneaking. Amazing. But what they did was they actually painted a jet to look just like Air Force One. It cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then they made why? I don't know. It's some kind of fashion advertising. But it's an interesting one, anyway. The iPod box, if MS had designed, have you seen this?
Yeah, I watched the video.
Really?
Oh my god.
It takes the kind of clean design of the box of the iPod and puts all these ridiculous, stupid Windows 2000 stickers on it and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and system specs. So yeah. Like a huge, big thing. It's like,
keep it on
the
message.
iPod is like almost hidden.
You totally can't see it.
It's just hidden behind with new features and all this shit.
It's brilliant. It's
horrible effects.
Quake 3 in a browser. When I saw this, my mouth hit the fucking floor. This is amazing. Have you seen this? You can't actually play Quake 3. Just get that out of the way. What you can do is you can go on to this webpage and in Shockwave, move around Quake 3 map. In an incredible frame rate. On this machine here, which doesn't even have a graphics card, it's onboard Intel graphics. I was going onto this thing and it was like 200 frames a second, Quake 3. Unbelievable. If this guy can put in some networking architecture and get people actually playing, this is just such a... And it loads in like a second. I cannot emphasize how jaw-dropping it is. It's like playing Quake 3 without the game part. But just in a browser, it loads instantly. So the WAD must be tiny. They've squeezed it down to nothing. And they've built some kind of mini graphics engine, which is just unbelievable. Maybe there's restrictions in it, in the way it's done, so like you could never actually have a game. But it's amazing anyway. The potential for other uses is fantastic. It's kind of, the website's a bit crap, and the guy seems like a goon, but if he wasn't, you know, what a chance for the world. finally, poetrymagazines.co.uk. I know I'm going to get slagged for this one, but it's a big searchable archive of poetry, and you can read all these old poems from different poetry magazines in Britain. Someone's uncertain in their sexuality. Alright, so so you can read them for free, and you can get subscriptions and stuff, right? Okay, this has been Show 32. We've offended Jewish people, lesbians, and the internet. Okay.
Oh, and the whole of America.
And the whole of America. Especially neoconservatives and Iranians. Because
hold on, where's our tick box for people to offend? Because there's going to be another small group.
Disabled people with small hands as well.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
Okay.
So if we've left you out, please write in.
Please do write in and complain.
We're willing
apologize.
To offend everybody.
We are an equal opportunities offender, and we will offend in lots of ways.
Yeah, indiscriminately.
Indiscriminately. Sexual offences. Offences against the state, whatever. So... Alright, tune in whenever we produce another show. Probably next week. This has been me.